أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ربنا إنك من تدخل النار فقد أخزيته وما للظالمين من أنصار.
والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. وحيا الله هذه الوجوه الطيبة والنيرة بنور الإيمان بالله عز وجل وبنور طاعته، وأسأله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجمعنا في ظل عرشه يوم لا ظل إلا ظله، وأن يتقبل منا طاعتنا وأن يجعلها في سجل حسناتنا يوم الدين، يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. اللهم آمين. إن شاء الله، I promise you بإذن الله تعالى that will be 1 hour, no more, than to go beyond that. So please, I put my watch here to watch myself. I try my best. If I forget, remind you, please, don't be shy. Because we don't want to take and make burden on you to come to attend, but we can, within 1 hour, we can accomplish a lot of things. While we need 2 more sessions. But for next time, inshallah, we are going to talk about the different divisions of the hadith. Then will be the tarajim, or the biographies. We'll go over. Inshallah, maybe we'll take 2 sessions from us. Then we'll be done with Mustalah al-Hadith, that brief, basic, short in the Hadith. We can go deep every time we want, but for this short period of time, we said, let's use this 3 maybe month period of testing ourselves and see how can we go and how we are interested, and then we can go beyond what we go, the basics that we are trying to achieve through the papers that I distributed to you, inshallah, and the terminology that and the terms we distributed last week. Today we are going to share a very interesting subject now, inshallah, about the some definitions and also some historical background about collecting and recording the hadith of Rasulullah. As we said before, we said again that some people, they say Quran or Sunnah, because we don't know what the Sunnah is, we don't know that Sunnah is true or not. We don't know that's where the people they got this hadith from. So we said again and we said again that if we don't know, does not mean we have to cancel the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But number one, the word hadith and sunnah. What at the moment that you hear the kalimat hadith comes to your mind, other than the hadith of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam? Well, it is linguistically an Arabic language. That the word hadith have many meanings. But from the technical, religious point of view, refer to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But the hadith as a word have many different meanings. For example, khabar or akhbar, news, ahadith, talkings, discussions, debates, conversation. You have a statement to say, this is your hadith, you're saying. And being used in the Quran, the word hadith, in the Quran with different meanings as well. For example, because the meaning of the hadith that we know now, and we refer to meaning in our mind psychologically to the Prophet alayhi salam, started from the time that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam became a prophet. Then every Sahabi now to refer, start to say, oh, the Prophet said, Hadithi Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Haddathana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But literally, the Arab, they know this language and they know these words, and it's their language that uses in different and wide meanings. And that's what the Quran also addresses the same way, that to tell them that doesn't make a difference at all. But have different meanings, you can deal with it from different angles, and also that will lead to many linguistic فَذَرْنِي وَمَنْ يُكَذِّبُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ فَذَرْنِي وَمَنْ يُكَذِّبُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ سورة القلم. It means that they leave me alone from Muhammad with those who reject this communication. So the Quran, refer to the Quran, بهذا الحديث means the Quran. And Allah said that, I will take care of such a person who rejected this hadith or the Quran. So the word hadith used in the Quran, referring to placing the meaning of Quran too. In the Sunnah, hadith Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to say in his khutbah, in his speeches different times, إِنَّ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. The best hadith, speech, that is the word and the kalam of Allah. So the Prophet used the word hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, in his speeches. إِنَّ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ, referring to the Quran. That the best book referring to is the Quran. But didn't say the book, didn't say the kitab, didn't say the Quran, he said alayhi sallam, ahsan al-hadith. So this, the language can be used in this also. Allahumma sallam al-hadith. Another riwayah, Ibn Majah, in ahsan al-kalami, kitab Allah. Also to be used as historical history, a story that happened in the history before the time of the Prophet alayhi sallam, the ayah, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. And referring to حَدِيثُ مُوسَى, we refer to the story of Musa alayhi sallam, of Moses. So you can see now the word of hadith used in the Quran by different meanings. Refer to replacing the Quran, also that talking about the history. Or the hadith in the sunnah, also the word hadith being used. وَحَدِّثُ عَنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَا حَرَجُ. It means whatever you say about incident that happened, even very unbelievable story, irregular story, unnormal story that happened in Israel, that happened, and don't worry about. حدث عن بني إسرائيل ولا حرج. You're not fabricating. Because many things happened that are normal among the children of Israel. But the point is here, حدث عن بني إسرائيل. حدث عن بني إسرائيل ولا حرج. So the word hadith in use also here as historical, but in the Sunnah. So bringing the Quran and the Sunnah, using both of them as a word hadith in different meanings. Also that means as a general conversation. وَإِذْ أَسَرَّ النَّبِيُّ لَبَعْضِ أَزْوَاجِهِ حَدِيثًا. Referring to here, now the Prophet ﷺ with his wife. And they refer to the conversation between the Prophet and his wife, that as hadith. إِذْ أَسَرَّ النَّسِرُّ السَّرِّيَّ secrecy. Private discussion between the Prophet ﷺ and his wife. إِذْ أَسَرَّ النَّبِيُّ لَبَعْضِ أَزْوَاجِهِ حَدِيثًا. It didn't say kalam, it didn't say sir, but the word used the word hadith. So also it being used here, being used as the word conversation in a meaning. And that's what the hadith, you know, very common speak. إِنَّ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرَ الْهَدِي هَدِي مُحَمَّدٍ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى وَسَلَّمَ. And so on. اللهم صل على محمد. Also that we have in the Sunnah, use the word hadith. مَنْ اِسْتَمَعَ إِلَى حَدِيثِ قَوْمٍ وَهُمْ لَهُ كَارِهُونَ. Sometimes people, they are, you know, they're like, they want to know everything what's going on. So they see two people, they're sitting, or a group of people sitting together, sisters, brothers, and this person, he or she, want to know what's going on. So we listen without permission. And the hadith says clearly, مَنْ اِسْتَمَعَ إِلَى حَدِيثِ قَوْمٍ وَهُمْ لَهُ كَارِهُونَ. They don't like him or her to listen. Then the result, أَوْ يَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ, is whether they don't like him to listen or they are running away from him or her, they'll just remain themselves here, صُبَّ فِي أُذُنِهِمْ أَنَكِ. This he referred to the mountain couple. can imagine this means to refer to this means like severe punishment. We are not allowed to listen to a group of people or individual, or to spy on people without permission, or to share the discussion without permission. If they don't like you to share, they don't like you to participate, you are not allowed to do that. Otherwise, that's the promise of the Quran. But the word here, man istama' ila hadithi qawm. From the sunnah, after the Quran, using the word hadith as conversation. So now we come to the sunnah as a way. Your way that every morning you wake up in the morning, you go to your job, and you go to take the children to the school, and then come back to the job, and then come to the lunch hour, and then go back home at the end of the day, at that specific time, every day. This is your sunnah. So each one of us have literally, linguistically have his own sunnah, her own sunnah. Religiously, we refer to what the Prophet said, did or approved. But this is tariqah. This is my way of life. This is the way of life. So this is my sunnah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And that's what the Arab, they knew about this word and knew the opposite to. What is the opposite to the sunnah? Any suggestion? The opposite to the word of sunnah will be what? Will be bid'ah. If it's not sunnah, when you do something not according to the sunnah, it means you are doing what? You are doing bid'ah. When it comes to the ibadat. You know? So, also this another meaning that to be known by the Arab, as we mentioned here. Also that in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created the universe, have His own sunnah. Sunan ijtima'iyya, sunan iqtisadiyya, sunan khuluqiyya, sunan kawniyya, this means universal, human. We have sunan, that those who do these things, that will face this. And whether Muslims or non-Muslim, doesn't matter now. We run over Spain almost 800 years. What made the Muslim to lose Spain? Where is the Khilafah of Islam today? Where are the other things that we're talking about? The Sharia have not applied. What happened? You can see the history tells. Where is the Great Britain in our current history, maybe to say? Where is the Soviet Union? In our own time, we saw that, we recognized that being erased from the map. Where are the empires of the Romans and the Persians in the history? The pharaohs. Where are all this? There is sunnah. Elements of destruction. Every ummah does not hold itself to the elements of rising, have to come down and be erased and being defeated. And that's what we have to worry about. We as Muslims living in this society, how to keep ourselves holding to our religion. When the Prophet said, I left amongst you two things, if you hold yourself to them, stuck to them, you will never go astray. Kitab Allah wa sunnati. The book of Allah and my way. And that's what the Quran referred to as many ayat. That the Prophet does not speak from his own desires. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. It is a revelation from God. So if you believe that he's a prophet of God, alhamdulillah, we believe in that, so it means you have to accept everything that he will say. So you have no choice than to believe in some and disbelieve in other. Otherwise, this is the attitude and the behavior of the non-Muslims. Mentioned in the Quran. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. You believe in some of the book and you disbelieve the others, because some Muslims, unfortunately, whenever Islam comes to their own ideology and their own philosophy, they say in front of everybody, now non-Muslim, this is my religion, I'm very proud of it. When it comes to his, against his own wishes, his own way, and say, maybe this is the opinion of the Imam or somebody, it's not our religion, I don't know this. SubhanAllah. Where the Quran said clearly, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمْ خِيَرَةٌ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. If Allah and His Rasul decided something, such a believer man or woman have no choice but to follow and believe. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ. Very rare in the Quran to find few verses addressing believers, men and women separately. Not يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, very common يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. All you who believe, all of you, including male and female. But to say male separate from the male and female, see, there is something special here. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمْ خِيَرَةٌ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. This is a believing man or woman, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul decide such a matter, to have a choice. So it's not my choice when Allah decided that to prohibit khanzir. It's not my choice that to prohibit alcohol. It's not my choice. I have no choice. If I'm true believer, I understand. And it's happened. I'm feeling that I want to fly today. Does it have? Like this? Okay. Samyan al-Wata. اللهم صل على محمد. روح الافكار المتهالة. ف we have no choice than to decide, yeah, I have a choice to say this, yes or no. I have no choice. Then the ayah referred to, إن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه من الله ورسوله. إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا. If you dispute about any issue, في شيء, didn't say religious or not religious. في شيء, anything. You and your wife, you and your children, community members and the board, imam and the ma'moom, any case you can, hakim and mahkoom, ruler and people ruled by such ruler. Whenever dispute appears, we have, if we are true believers, it says mu'min and mu'mina. Didn't say Muslim and Muslima, by the way. Every mu'min is Muslim, but not every Muslim is mu'min. Think about it. Every mu'min is Muslim. But some people, they are Muslim by ideas. But they do not practice Islam the way it should be. They have their own desires mixed with it. That you will see sometimes following their own things. Very strange. Islam says this is prohibited. This is not allowed, and this and this. Okay. Allah is all right. See, but if a true believer, man or woman, and Allah decides such a matter that they have no choice. No choice, we have no choice but to say سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. This is the attitude of the believer. To believe and to submit immediately, then to understand, wallahi, now today we live in alhamdulillah in a time that the high tech society, so we can discover some of the diseases of the pork and the other things, or the alcohol results and other bad things that Allah prohibited, because Allah will never subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibit something good. Everything good is halal. But يحرم الخبائث والفواحش, the evil things, the bad things. So the harmful things. I don't have to understand to believe in first. Allah says prohibit alcohol. I don't have to understand why. And that's what the problem with those brothers and sisters who speak to the non-Muslims, to say scientific data first when they talk about Islam prohibitions regarding alcohol or swine products, the khanzir. I have first to say, Allah commanded me. Allah prohibited me. I'm submitting myself to the order of Allah and Almighty first. Then, alhamdulillah, today we can understand some specific data, you know. We have statistics, we have scientific information that can be added to, but not to base on. So this is what we talk about here, when the Sunnah, the Prophet decided that we have no choice. اللهم صل على محمد. subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alayhi wasallam qudwa hasan. Uswa hasan. These are all model for us. For the male, the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba kiram after that. The best man, this aqidah al sunnah wa jama'ah, the best man in the world, as we believe. And that's what we are created, alhamdulillah, we are Muslim, that to be the leader, not to be led by somebody else. And that's the problem of the rulers today. We have all the means of leading the world to the best. Why we are led by the others? I don't understand this. We have the best. The best book, the best man, the best sharia, and whatever else we have. We have the wealth, we have all the means of living in this life, and all the channels and the highways to drive us to Ridwanillah, to Jannatillah, wa sa'adat abadiyyah. Why not tifuna? Subhanallah. Jahim jahili, wa'abat wa'abizi. See? But the point is really here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophet qudwa hasan, our role model to follow. So to me as a man, I look at the Prophet as my best example. Not the basketball player, not the hockey player, not the volleyball player, not the tennis table player, not the actress or actress or singer or whatever. And that's what really we have to go upon that. Replace the image in our minds, in our children's minds, that these are, we know that. When the Lakers player, the basketball player, what's his name? You know? What's his name? The one who declared his HIV? Magic Johnson, isn't it? It was a shock to the whole nation. Can you imagine how many people, men and women, they were? He was the role model for them in their lives. And the poster in their bedrooms and all. And then, go down. We have to train ourselves that after the Prophet alayhi sallam, Sayyidina al-Awwaleen wal-Akhireen, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq the best. Then Umar ibn Khattab, then Uthman ibn Affan, then Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, al-Sahaba al-Kiram. These are the best people to follow for the men. The woman, to look at the wives of the Prophet alayhi sallam. Khadija, Aisha, and daughters of the Prophet and so on. This is the best people to follow because they are examples. How much do we know about them? I'm very sure that Hannah Montana, the children know more than what they know about Fatima Zahra. They know about Hannah Montana more than what they know about Khadija. And that's a shame. But this is the point, we go back to the point that here. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophet uswa hasana. So he's our role example. So whatever he says the good things to tell us about, to shape our personality, our psychology, our humanity, and to lead us to the best in the hereafter too as well. Through his sayings, his actions, and his model to follow. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the sunnah that to be a tafsir al-Quran. So the sunnah is very important. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ordered us to make salah, to pay zakah, to perform hajj. But didn't say in the Quran how to pray. And this is a very clear answer to those who say, Quran or Sunnah. Do you pray? Yes, I pray sometimes. Okay, when you pray, based on what you pray? Based on what do you pray? You pray Fajr, how many rak'ah? 2 rak'ah. Or you pray Fajr, 2 rak'ah, that's okay. How we said this to rak'ah? The Quran, there is no second ayah says, pray to rak'ah, Fajr. So you have to go to the Sunnah to explain the Quran. The Quran says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ. How to make a comment to salah? We don't know. Time, there was mentioned, yes. When? The time of the salawat, yes. But didn't say how to perform salah, ruku' and sujood, what to recite. And that's what the Prophet said alayhi sallam, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَيْتُرْبُونِي مُصَلِّي. In Hajj, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Manasik al-Hajj from him. We cannot perform Hajj our own way. Otherwise, we'll be bid'ah. And that's what you see in the Hajj, in the Umrah. Many people practice a lot of bid'ah. Because the sunnah is not as gone. So when you revive the sunnah in your life, you are killing bid'ah. And when you revive the bid'ah, you are killing the sunnah. And you can choose now. Well, you have no choice to say to choose, but you know, that's what people, they do that. One time, a Sahabi, Ibn Mas'ud, very well known, he mentioned about the prohibitions of the plucking the hairs of the woman at this very common issue and very flourishing business these days, and the nails, connected nails and other things, and the, you know, wigs and stuff. So the Prophet Na'an, Namis al-Mutanamis, Na'an al-Washim al-Mutanamis, business. Washim al-Mustawshim. You know that two business, very, very, if you look at the USA Today statistic now, business number one in the country. Tattoo. Male and female. Put tattoo here, put tattoo here, put tattoo here. Allah Rabbi. We are not allowed to do that. There is la'na from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he mentioned about that, in that little Quran, that woman from Bani Asad tribe, she came to him to say, how you say that? I read the Quran, all of it. I didn't see any. He said, didn't read in the Quran, وَمَا أَتَاكُمْ رَسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Prophet brought to you, ordered you to do, do it. Whatever Allah, the Prophet prohibited you to do, not to do it. Yes. So that's what the Quran mentioned about. The Prophet in the Sunnah, the Prophet in the Quran. And the Prophet now, out of his mercy, said, مَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُمْ مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَمَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever I prohibit you, absolutely no discussion. Prohibited. فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever I order you to do, try to do as much as you can. SubhanAllah. But to tell us what he's stating about. Even in the same hadith, in Sahih Bukhari, أَمَرَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ بِسَبْعٍ وَنَهَانَا عَنْ سَبْعٍ. The same hadith. The Prophet ordered us to do seven things, and he prohibited us from doing seven things. What's the difference between the order number one and the prohibition number two? Totally different. The first one is not for fard, but the other one is for fard. Can you imagine that? When it comes to the fiqh, we raise this issue again. But just to give an example, we cannot use the gold for men, as you know. Gold for men is prohibited. And this is this hadith. And تخدم بالذهب. To put خاتم or خاتم ذهب, gold ring. When you marry, don't make your wife happy and make the Prophet upset with you and neglect him. Lead your family to the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet said, no, no. One time we were at the Tower of Dallas here. And somebody invited, you know, that Muslims, all of us Muslims. And when the man, he brought a silver spoon and fork, I said, is this silver? He said, yes. And this is a stemware. I said, I'm sorry, can you bring us stainless steel or plastic, whatever? And they got very upset with me. So we are upset. This is my choice. And you know that this Prophet prohibited us to eat for men and women now from any utensils that made out of silver or gold. You know what the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Sheikh, we're in the tower here, I said, wherever you are. You see how? The challenge. And the man, he went. He brought us, you know, plastic in the back. He was very happy. She was very upset. He was very upset. So why are you upset, Yafi? You don't love the Prophet? Alayhi salatu wasalam. If you love the Prophet, if you love Allah before the Prophet, you follow the Prophet. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يَحْبُبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. If you love Allah, follow me. So my answer is, but refusing to follow the Prophet, you don't love Allah. And I'm sorry to say, I'm not going to sit with you. You are Muslims. You're invited by non-Muslims. And the non-Muslims, they respect your religion, no drinking, nothing, no eating khanzir, nothing on the table. And the Muslim will come and trying to challenge you with that. I live in America, don't tell me what to do. This man, he's ranking, high-ranking officer. He's accepting my statement and respecting my wish. And you Muslim, you don't respect your own religion. This is a shame. Sometimes we have these issues. And then we've got us and we're speaking. You see how? So, obeying the Prophet alayhi salam, following the sunnah of the Prophet salam, even the honor was for him to ask,
إن من أزواجكم أولادكم عدوا لكم فاحذروهم.
Some people didn't understand the words. What adilu? What adilu? You have to become enemies. Or you believe some of their wives and the children, they are enemies to you. Be careful. Be aware. How the enmity came. How to become enemies. Because the wife and the children will push the father, the husband, that to work even the haram to get them the money and get them what they want and wish. I want to buy that one. It's 200,000. I can't afford it. Then you start to think how to get it even haram way. That's the enmity here now. And that's what the wife used to say to her husband when he goes to the job in the morning at the door to say, "Ittaqillaha fina, and don't bring us to us except halal rizq." We can wait days hungry, but we cannot tolerate 1 hour of punishment in hell. We can wait hungry days, but we cannot tolerate 1 hour in punishment in hell because you brought us the haram rizq sustenance. So be patient and make dua for him and to bring rizq halal for them. Also that the hadith man ata'ani faqad ata'a Allah. So ta'a the Prophet, obedience to the Prophet alayhi wasallam is not just like anything else. You are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَطَاعَ أَمِيرِي فَقَدْ أَطَاعَنِي. And that's what the hadith, the long hadith mentioned, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَ وَإِنْ تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ حَبَشِي مُجَدَّعُ الْأَطْرَافِ. As long as you select your leadership, imam and the board, then you have the duty to obey بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. If they ask you to obey them in the way that they disobey Allah, there is no obedience here. But I don't like it this way. I'm not going to listen to them. No, you don't have a choice. If you want the community to go according to the Sharia, not according to our desires. But if everybody to chief no Indians, as we say here, then there will be chaos in the community. Follow. But the concept of Amir, the concept of leadership, that's what your duty in the beginning to choose the one who deserves to be leader. Not because he's from the same country, not from the same culture, or background, or language, or we know each other for friendship. No. This issue is very amana here now. So that's what the Prophet mentioned about here in this one. This is one of the instructions to shape the community. So we have to obey. But if he is from Habasha, is from South Africa, from whatever he is, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. There is no colors in Islam, as you know. Alhamdulillah. Equality. وَالسَّمْعَ وَأَطَعْنَا. وَإِن تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ حَبَشِيٌّ. Have no arms, no legs. You accept him to be leader. You accept to be imam. You listen and سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. That's the respect code and how the community live in peace and love and harmony. Each other. Mutual respect. The leaders respect the followers and the followers respect the leaders and love each other and care about each other. This is how the boat of peace and love and Islam to go. Based on this simple teaching, but it shaped our relationship too. Also that we have the moral, the ideal through the Sunnah. That the Prophet ﷺ was guided by revelation. So if I know that he was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I follow him, I'm the best. I will be happy in this life and the hereafter. Then also that the preservation of Islam. That to preserve the Sunnah, preserve the Quran before the Sunnah. Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikr wa inna lahu la'hafidhun. Don't worry about Islam. Don't be crazy about Islam, this cartoon, this other thing. Worry about yourself. We have to worry about our community, ourselves. Islam is going to stay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, أَلَّنْ يَسْتَبِيحَ بَيْضَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَحَدٍ. Nobody will erase Islam from their surface. Nobody will do that. And we're living in a country, alhamdulillah, we are proud that we're living in this country, that we're allowed to sit back this halaq. Can you imagine this halakha? We cannot sit in the halakha in Iraq, or in Syria, or in Egypt, or in any country. It's a favor. We have to talk about this ni'mah from Allah to give. shukr to Allah about it. The Imam, just to say to somebody, call the Adhan. Here we can say it. But in these Muslim countries, even Saudi Arabia, you cannot say to anybody, call the Adhan. As Imam, I'm talking about. Can you imagine? One day, a brother, he was visiting Syria, his area, and visiting the old man, he used to be friend of his father, rahmatullah alayhi. And suddenly, just talking, then suddenly, a military jeep with four soldiers came and stopped the jeep, and he went to them and said, excuse me, I have to talk to them. Then he went back. He said, do you know when these came, the people, these came, and these soldiers came for? He said, no. He said, you know, I applied for the awqaf, because I pray Fajr in the masjid and I open my store. And until Maghrib, I pray Maghrib in the masjid and I go home at the end of the day. I applied for Adhan, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, free. In Syria. In England. And now I get the answer through this way. Four soldiers with the jeep to say, your application refused. Your application refused to do free Adhan, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib. Such a message like this, mashallah. Such a school we have. Masajid and schools. Alhamdulillah, we have to hold ourselves to the Sunnah and the Quran before the Sunnah to keep going. We are allowed to do that, give shukr to Allah. Shukr, adum al-ni'am. So the hadith and the Sunnah is two terms, almost come to the same definition, the same end. That was going about what the Prophet did, what the Prophet said, and what the Prophet approved, alayhi salatu wassalam. And then we come to the era of compilation of the Sunnah of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wassalam. We have specific suhuf, or books, or papers, being written by specific names. That all these names, Sahaba. Not the second generation of Tabi'in or the third generation of Tabi'in. The Sahaba Kiram. Some of the Sahaba, they dedicated their lives to record what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. Such as As-Sahifa As-Sadiqa, As-Sahifa As-Sahiha. As-Sahifa As-Sadiqa, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As. One time Quraysh, they saw him writing what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. They said, you recall anything that the Prophet, the man, said? He didn't believe that he's a Prophet. He said, yes, but he's a human being like us. He can upset, he can angry, he can, you know. You cannot write everything like this. Then Abdul Amr, he quit. Then he came to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, to tell him about it. That's what they said. He said, yeah, write down. So even if Rida wal Ghadab, for Rida wal Ghadab, قال نعم فلا إني لا أقول إلا حقا. I only speak the truth in every aspect, in every position. This is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me. Even he got angry, and you know, alayhi salatu wasalam, sometimes he get upset with some kind of, like one time, he said, ask me anything you want now. I see Jannah and Jahannam, عرض الخائط. On the walls, ask him whatever you want, at this moment. And somebody asked him, oh Allah, ask Allah to make Imam the pillar of Jannah. Got it? Oh, the other one said, me too, he said no. Sabaka Kibiya Ukkash. His name Ukkash. That's it. What? And God, now finished. The other man, where's my father? He said, in hell. He saw him. It's going to happen. He saw the future. Sometimes the future. So we have to understand the Wahi, understand something specific, but the Prophet never spoke, but spoke the truth. When come to that, Islamic legislations and Islamic rulings, and that will be considered. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. But in the beginning, to confirm that he prohibited the Sahaba to write, down anything that his statements from his other than the Quran, so not the Quran mixed with the Sunnah and get confused about which one is Quran, which one is Sunnah, for a period of time in the early time of Mecca. Then later on, he allowed that, and that's what came Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, when he used to be able to read and write. So he used to also focus on this, and he wrote by the permission of the Prophet alayhi sallam. And that sahiha he wrote down, he used to have students too. So the student would listen to him and finish the papers. They start to write on the cloth, on the hand, palm hand, on the leaves of the trees, and just something, and then go home and re-record it again. And generation after generation, when he died, his children inherited, have children, students. All the time, now we have to be aware of that the way that learning has been to say, my teacher, who's your teacher in Quran, who's your teacher in Hadith, who's your teacher in the Fiqh, who's your teacher in Tafsir, this we have to adapt yourself to say, this is my teacher. This is the way to learn, the real knowledge, that to dedicate yourself, if you want to be a student of knowledge, I mean, not just general admonishment and a general reminder, just imagine anybody can speak and then go home. But if you want to learn really and have knowledge about a specific subject, and yes, you have to have this, and that's what the Quran has sanad. An shaykhi, so and so, an shaykhi, an shaykhi, an shaykhi. And this is the same with the Hadith. And this will be next session, inshallah, about the Hadith. We have these seven people there who narrated a lot of a Hadith. We have a tree, have three branches. Number one, who narrated a lot of a Hadith. It's called Al-Mukthiruna Al-Riwaya. Al-Mukthiruna Min Al-Riwaya. Who narrated a lot. Kathir. Riwaya Kathir. Al-Mukilluna Min Al-Riwaya. The opposite. Who narrated very little. Such as, to the our astonishment to say, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Can you imagine Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who was the friend of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam before he became a prophet, and during the time of his prophecy, and after his death, and he narrated little hadith, number of hadith. Can you imagine that? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he is the top of the seven. Even he became Muslim on the year of 7th year of Hijrah. Not in Mecca, not the first year in Medina, the second year, on the 7th year of Hijrah, it's been 3 years. But he's the top of the seven who narrated a lot of hadith from the Prophet and memorized it here. When you come to his biography, we'll talk about a little bit more details. Because of the barakah, or the blessings of the dua of the Prophet for him. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I hear a lot from you, a lot of things, and I forgot. It's okay. And he made dua for him. Ibn Abbas, Turjuman al-Quran, this is the title. Turjuman al-Quran. Mufassir al-Quran. When you read in the books, on Ibn Abbas, that's it. Bahr al-Ulum, the ocean of knowledge. Qalu Ibn Abbas, anna naka hadha al-ilm. How you got this knowledge? Qalu bi lisani sawl wa qalbi al-aql. I ask, I understand. But the Prophet made dua for him. Allahumma faqihu fi al-deen. Wa'alimhu al-ta'wil. Give him the tafsir. The knowledge of tafsir. Give him the understanding of fiqh. You see, of the deen. To understand the deen better. With the dua of the Prophet, this special privilege is given. Subhanallah, to such people. May Allah be pleased with them all. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the hadith was not really in risk at all, because any issue they have, the Sahaba they have, any challenge they have, they used to go to the Prophet to ask him about it, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he was there to respond to them, or to solve the problem, or to answer whatever. But after the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the situation did not change too much, because still the Sahaba, they were very preserving to be able to accept the riwayah. You know Umar al-Khattab, for example, radiallahu anhu. One time he heard from Abu Huraira. And And he told Abu Hurairah, you're narrating too much. And he tried to stop him from narrating. You know? But Abu Hurairah said to him, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَقُولُ. I heard the Prophet saying, عليه الصلاة والسلام, وَمَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلِتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Whoever lies against me intentionally, let him reserve his seat in hell. Whoever lies against me, like some people they say, want to sell his product, then he will use the hadith. We have some people like this in our back. إِذَا أَسْمَكْتُمْ فَأَمْلِحُمْ قَالَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. If you eat fish, then eat dates. You want to sell the dates, you know. And they start to speak about the oil. The Prophet said about the olive oil, something about the oil. Then you want to sell the oil, the olives. Then he fabricate the hadith against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the Prophet said, وَمَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيْهِ مُتَعَمِّدًا. Intentionally, he knows that I didn't say that, said the Prophet said, let him reserve his seat in hell. فَلَيْتَبَوَّ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. So when Abu Hurairah said this, Umar said, now go and say whatever you want. I have Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He recorded many hadith. It says about 500 hadith. But he burned it. He was afraid that maybe one of this, the Prophet didn't say it. Out of fear and precaution. But the top, we have Abu Hurairah. We have the second, Abdullah ibn Abbas.
That you sit and you read,
open your desires to read, okay? And book al-halal al-haram in the library, in Arabic, I'm talking about 84. It tells you something, I'm very sure. We have to read and understand our own religion. If you don't understand our Quran and Sunnah, what you are talking about? With this, inshallah, we'll come to the conclusion of that knowing that Hadith and the Sunnah definitions, then the importance of the Hadith, that it is revelation, it is tafsir, it is a law, it is a moral ideal. Also that about the compilation of the Hadith during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and during the time of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, it changed a lot, but the same methods. And then later on, we'll come inshallah to talk about the after that. But the Suhuf, the books that was written, we said, that written very well known to Samra ibn Jundub, that he wrote his own, and he collected many hadith of the Prophet in it. Jabir ibn Abdullah, great Sahabi, well known, he collected another book or Sahifa, but specifically about Manasik al Hajj, addressing that. It's been collection of a hadith from the Prophet alayhi salam. And then, the most famous one is the Sahih al-Sadiqah, that's written by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, and he used not to allow anybody to touch it, even Abdullah ibn Umar. So this is my privilege, you know, that's the Prophet. Directly from the mouth of the Prophet, he wrote it down. And he kept it for his son. After he died, the son started to narrate, and then students and students and students, generation after generation, and kept. It is in Damascus, and it is in Berlin, in Germany. In Egypt, we have some books that we are talking about, but in Damascus, in museums, and in Berlin, in Germany. Can you imagine Germany? What have to do with the Sunnah? Yeah, they have it. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. I know. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. I think that will be, Allahu a'lam, will be enough for us today, inshallah, and we don't commit ourselves to 1 hour. Then we'll go to the, maybe the last one, we'll say, Sahifat Abi Huraira, the Hammam, the Mubbi, Hammam, that Abu Huraira, he taught him, and he wrote it down, Hammam, but become famous later on with Hammam, and forget about Abu Huraira. And this is Sahifat Hammam. It is not Hammam, it is Abu Huraira. But become famous too much with Hammam, and the student of Hammam later on, and that's what really become well known that way. But this includes 318 hadith. When we talk about sahifa, not as a book, as a sahifa, I mean like papers, few pages that are written by these names. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. That should be enough. أسأل الله عز وجل أن يتقبل منا طاعتنا وجعلها في سجود حسناتنا يوم الدين وجزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If you have any question or any comment, please, I really appreciate that. بارك الله فيكم جميعا. We'll see you shortly next Tuesday.
اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك.
Oh Allah, help me to remember you, to thank you, and to worship you in the best of manners.